Milk Bottle Audio presents The Museum of Tat
and Kitsch,
devised by Robert Crichton. Hello and welcome to this very special episode of The Museum of Tat with me, Geoffrey Collins, and my special guest, Dick Davidson, Tat raconteur and turf accountant. For this special episode, we asked Dick, give me some Dick, as we are contractually obliged to say, Davidson, to appraise the latest acquisition to the museum. But to give the episode what our producer calls curve appeal, or what we like to think of as a pointless affectation of novelty, we're not going to reveal what the item is. We invite you, the listener at home, to send us what you think the item is. We invite you to guess our tat. The first person to correctly identify the tat on Twitter, at Museum of Tat, will win a Museum of Tat mug for being a good mug yourself. And now over to our recording of Dick as he talks through our tat.
Guess our tat.
Well, I'm having a look underneath. There's no maker's mark. That's a good sign. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That normally means it's mass-produced.
Mm. But
there's a reason for that. Have a look. Oh, perfect. Yep, it's got a Chinese maker's mark there. Still got the barcode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm opening it up. It's poorly put together.
Yes. It's just, what is he doing with his...
Well, you see, the thing is, these particular ones, as you can hear, it's actually made of a ceramic material. Mm. I just love holding these in my hand. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a very good sign.
Yeah, we were quite disappointed, actually, just in terms
I'd be very pleased with the listing. They were using the wrong type of chemicals. It's a little bit tight.
It has a slight utility, though, for incredibly small to be put in.
Yeah, there is that. They are, in fact, if you split them open, actually toxic, mm-hmm, which is a good sign. Oh, my goodness, that is so poor. It doesn't fit particularly well.
Yes, they there's a slight rash on my hand.
Yes, they will do. If you look at the normal dead giveaway, it's not straight, okay? Oh, my, yeah. Now, that's interesting because I've seen these before. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've seen bleeding thousands of them.
Yes, absolutely, which is important.
Yeah, I would.
And if you look...
Holy cow. Then again...
It is, in fact, coming apart in your hand. So a little bit of the thing is, I think, stuck to... Oh, no, it's just dropped off.
Okay, well, that's a good sign. Yeah. It's very poor quality. If you look, the determining sign here is when you look at this around the edge, can you see how it's not straight?
In fact, that bit is just
yeah,
just
it is.
Coming
it's come
up,
away because
off. Whoever... The hot glue gun that was used...
Whoever put this together in some sweatshop out in the Far East really didn't give a toss. That shows you the quality that was put into it. And right. Even the colours are wrong.
Yeah. You could drink out of this.
You can drink out of it.
Perfectly happily and no one would notice.
Absolutely. But what I always say...
Not in public, obviously.
Because people come up to me and say, no chance. I'm looking at it. Is it hand-painted? I don't think it is.
No. We think there's been a certain amount of artistic endeavour has gone into the... Because otherwise you don't have that sort of haunted... I'm trapped. Help me.
Yeah.
A small goblin caught me in the middle of the night. Look.
Yeah. I am a little bit. There is a little bit of concern about this. That this actually would be quite collectible to some people who like.
Guess our tat.
No, but I can actually tell you where that one's from.
Oh yeah.
I can tell you exactly where that's from. What is really interesting about these were actually produced for a British company.
Oh, that's good.
These are mass produced out in the Far East, and we know the factory that produced it. They were produced in the Far East for a British company under a British design. And some entrepreneur decided, what I'll do is I'll get a million of these made up and I'll tout them round to the... And what happened was the poor bloke ended up with nearly a million and he couldn't sell a thing. And of course, what that meant was they just went for absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing was the directors of the company have since served time because they broke EU regulations over the type of chemicals they could use. Of course, out in the Far East, you can get away with it all the time because this is produced in an area where there is very little in the way of resin machines. Mm-hmm. It is all done by hand, by just literally throwing the stuff.
But does that give it value?
It doesn't. Because the amount of these produced is absolutely phenomenal. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, people are knocking these out. The people are very interested because unlike the sweatshops, the people that produce this are in fact political prisoners.
Oh,
and
right.
They are working solely for a bowl of rice, and they produce tens of thousands of these every week. It really is tat.
They're just not trying, are they?
Well, I actually think they do a great job. I think they've got a great place in the world, and they should be very proud of the amount of tat that they put out. Mm-hmm. I would be delighted.
Ambassadors of tat.
They are indeed. I would be delighted to put this in my collection if you want to give me a couple of quid to take it off your hands.
If I gave you...
Let's say £2 and this, I will take it off your hands.
Guess our tat.
I'm looking at it purely from a tat point of view. Yes. It is tat. Give me a value, I'd probably say maybe £2 or £3 you'd have to pay me to take this off your hands. Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I feel that's a bargain.
Yeah, I think you were seen off.
Yeah.
And that's actually quite a good sign when it comes to tat. Okay. These are very, very collectible for tat collectors, you know, because I'll tell you what, you can't give these away in a charity shop. No. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, you might have paid, you know, probably 40 or 50 pence for it. Today, the market, it's absolutely swamped with these ones. I have seen these sat for months. Mm-hmm. And I actually went into my local charity shop and they said, "Hey, Dick," because everybody loves some Dick. They said, "Hey, Dick, I've got these. Do you want to take them off our hands?" I took one look and said, "Look, you're going to have to give me probably about £3 or £4 for that." And she said, "Look, it's a charity shop." She said, I can manage two. Drove a hard bargain, but I'm going to be honest, I took them off her hand. She gave me £2 and these, and they now sit in my collection.
Guess our tat.
It really is quite tatty. To be honest with you, this one could really do with a little bit of tapping around the edges with a hammer. I have noticed there's a little bit of chipping at the back. That's a good sign. But essentially, it is actually quite whole. That's actually very unusual.
Yes, I was going
These
to say,
do
you'd,
not
expect
last.
Them, you'd expect them to fall.
Yeah,
apart.
There's normally chippings and all sorts going on. So to be frankly honest with you, if I were you, to devalue this, I would just take a small hammer, just knock it around the edges a little bit, beat it up a little bit, or perhaps even just stick it in a washing machine. That would do the trick.
Or a dishwasher.
A dishwasher would do. Washing machine's better because it has a tumble cycle.
That's true. That's
and
true.
That just knocks things about a bit.
Guess our tat.
Now, I think here we're getting into an interesting ethical dimension because, obviously, in the Museum of Tat, we're here looking for pure tat items. Items that are, by their nature, tat. Whereas what Dick, give me some Dick...
Because everybody loves Dick.
...is talking about here is, to some degree, about faking tat.
Yes, yeah.
Because...
Well, fake tat these days has an enormous market.
But you're a businessman, so you're very much about...
Creating a lack of value in items. Yeah,
so, but we've noticed that there's actually been quite a glut on the market of fake tat. Things that are perfectly well made, but which have been distressed over time.
Deliberately.
Or have had horrible things added to them to make them worse. I mean, people, I believe there are sweatshops around the country deliberately adapting perfectly ordinary and making them more horrible so that they can be worth less on the open market.
That has been an issue.
And at your auction house, ultimately, do you care? Because obviously I care because I work at the Museum of Tat. But do you care?
No.
I suspected you didn't.
At the end of the day, it's all about how tat takes over your life. You know, I've spent the last 20 years as a tat expert, a collector, a dealer, an auctioneer. Tat is my life. And you know, there are some unscrupulous people out there.
There are
some unscrupulous dealers that
you
go
train
there
them.
And they would, and you know, and there's some even worse ones that would actually turn around and actually try and charge you to take their tat.
I have.
And I look at it and think...
I've seen people try that.
I think it's diabolical.
It's disgusting.
You know, at the end of the day, if tat is that bad, you know, somebody is going to pay me to take it off their hands. Mm-hmm. That's how I make a living.
Yeah.
What I'm looking to do is get as much tat as I possibly can...
Off your hands.
Off my hands, into the hands of tat collectors.
Idiots.
Who really don't have no sense of colour, no sense of... of you know, blending. We're not looking for internal, you know, architects here. We're not looking for classic designers. What we're looking for is just ordinary people that clutter their house with absolute tat, that when people die, most of the time, the relatives go into the house and go, good God, what are we going to do this? Skip it. Mm-hmm. That is tat.
Yes. Sadly, there is some tat and indeed some relatives who you can't just throw into a skip.
Well, there are some very, very famous tat collectors. One of the famous was Gladys Wilson, of course, who lived in Rochdale. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she spent her entire life collecting tat.
In fact, her house has recently been reopened by the National Trust as an annex of the Tat Museum.
It is, yeah.
And the Museum of Tat has sent, in fact, that's why Colin isn't available for today, is because he's out there overseeing the items on display. Because she had so much tat.
It was unbelievable.
She was a natural hoarder.
She was unbelievable. I mean, it was goppingly full of tat. You'd walk into this place.
And gopping is a term that we use in the trade.
That is
gopping tat.
It is gopping tat. You walk in there, your mouth opens, you can't say anything, your breath is taken from you. And you look at it and think, oh my God, how on earth could this woman live with so much tat in the house?
In fact, it comes from a physical sensation of seeing tat, which brings up so much saliva into the mouth that actually sometimes, it happens to all of us sometimes, that you go in and you just can't help but spit quietly in a corner.
It is unbelievable. But it is, I mean, Gladys's house, you have to see it to believe it. Mm. Originally what happened, relatives had come to me and they said, hey, Dick, because everybody loves Dick, of course.
Give me some Dick.
They said to me, Dick, would you clear this Gladys's house? Now she's moved on. And I took one look at it and said, look, you know, this collection is so vast. It's so vast.
It has to go to the
I would love to put this onto the open market because it would devalue things overnight. The big problem is it's going to cost you at least £15,000 for me to even consider taking it off your hands. Mm-hmm. And
it's a case of state intervention for really the health and safety of the populace.
Yeah.
For the mental welfare. Yeah. Because, of course, some people need counselling when they come out of such institutions. I know you've been battling with some demons in your life.
I have, if I'm absolutely honest. It's in the new book, of course. It's just money. For me, it's all about the money. That's the bottom line. That's what my new show is all about.
Which reminds me, Colin should have your next instalment shortly.
Excellent. That's great.
He's been working part-time
good.
In the local swimming baths.
Excellent, because I can't do this for nothing, of course.
No, of course.
I have to charge. There is a reason. But I am sorry, I am going to have to cut this short because I've just noticed my ambulance has arrived outside.
Right.
This episode of the Museum of Tat was recorded prior to Dick, Give Me Some Dick, Davidson's court appearance and does not support his actions in any way. If you've been affected by any of the tat depicted in this podcast, a helpline is available. Somewhere.
Guess our tat.